attention again to the words found in the prophecy of Hosea, chapter 14, reading the second verse. Hosea 14, verse 2. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. In reading again this verse, we see it as steps that the Lord hath appointed for coming sinners as they are wrought upon, caused to see their folly, their sinnership, varied steps he hath appointed that they shall take to receive the blessing, to come with prayer, with supplication, turning to the Lord, pleading for forgiveness and acceptance in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. A path well trodden down throughout the ages, God's appointed way. Many appear to but come with praise, our spirit trembles as we hear those loud affirmations of trust in Christ, questioning, trust rightly so, where is this teaching of the Spirit? For none can truly praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, except they be conscious of that from which they have been saved, in eternal punishment. Israel, as we have said at the morning hour, had departed, wandered, gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. And who can deny? There have been those seasons, even after having received blessing at the hand of God, where we have not departed, may be preserved outwardly, and this no small mercy, but of a truth have been those hard departures, those wanderings from the Lord. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I trust, I love. Here then is set before us the way God hath appointed for thy relief, for thy blessing. A turning again, repentance to be wrought. This, oh, we must stress it, is God's gift unto his people. We have read a portion which includes that well-known parable concerning the prodigal son, and thoughts went to it in as we closed this morning. And he came, did he not, with words. Take with you words. With you. He was returning. He had been brought in want, in need, and oh, that this may be known and felt amongst us as a denomination, many brought in want. 'Tis a day when, for the most part, provision is made for providential needs. There is not now that those pressing cases in the path of providence which many of our forefathers knew. This we feel. There is, oft on account of this, a decline in gracious exercise. They lived near unto their heavenly Father, day by day, seeking that provision at his hand, lived close unto him. And where now, oh, where now is that close walk with God? And yet, the Lord will exercise his people. It is apparent throughout the word of God that way in which he indeed doth cause his people to approach unto him. Blessed is that man whom thou choosest and causeth to approach unto God. Blessed is that man. Within their hearts, they cannot trace at these seasons the blessedness. They cannot see this as tokens of his love. They cannot trace his mercy in his chastening, which oft feels to be so sore. But of a truth, this is wrought in love, that such may cleave closer unto their God. Their eyes are holden, they cannot behold him, as those two upon the Emmaus Road, Christ communed with them, yet they knew him not, until he was pleased to anoint their eyes and speak the word, peace be unto you. So it was in the case and condition of those Hebrew children amidst the burning fiery furnace. They'd been enabled to stand fast, They would not bow the knee to that idol raised by the wicked monarch. They had professed their belief in their God, that he should save them in that trying hour. And if he should, oh, see that willingness to be nothing, to seek the will of God in all things. If it should not be his will, we will not bow down the knee to that idol. Cast into that burning, fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter. E'en the wicked monarch had to say, he saw one with them, and the form of the fourth was like unto the Son of God. This is that which these are brought to feel in the midst of these powers of affliction. And oh, this is that which will turn their captivity. This is that which will enable them to render the calves of their lips. The distress may still abound, but oh, to feel that Christ is with thee. The form of the fourth like unto the Son of God. To realize his presence, his upholding hand, strengthening and supporting thee in the midst of these paths will cheer thy soul. Take with you words then. Take with you words. What did the prodigal come with? And what hast thou come with? Oh, if it is of the Spirit, it will not be with the Pharisee's language. Thinking thyself better. E'en of that publican who tremblingly approached unto God. But will be, in essence, with the prodigal here. God had wrought there. He made him to see. And this the sinner is brought to realize, that there's a provision there in their father's house. Though themselves sinners of the vilest kind, yet brought in want, they're brought to repentance. They see by faith the provision which God has in Christ for these needy souls and their avenger. I have sinned. I will arise and go to my Father. Take with you words. And will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Oh, if this were more known within our hearts, amongst us as churches, would there not be more prosperity in our midst? We read, and the word keeps hovering over one spirit, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We see it in our trade. See that little measure of yeast mixed with a little warm water, put into that great quantity of flour. Soon there's a rising up. Oh, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Oh, would to God that this spirit of grace and repentance, godly sorrow over sin, were granted unto us each, that there may be that speaking one to another, that confessing of our faults one to another, in that spirit of humility and of love, I will go unto my Father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. See the humility which adorned his spirit. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. no more worthy. He felt himself to have forfeited all right to any relationship, yet the desire of his heart was this: oh, make me as one of thine hired servants. He could not bear the piercing thought to be left out. Make me as one of thine hired servants. Take with you words. Oh, how pleasing it is, how cheering it is for those barriers to be broken. And who can do it? None but Christ. Who can break down that great mountain betwixt our souls and an eternal God, but he who hath wrought salvation by his own death and glorious resurrection for his people. Take with you words then. Oh, raise before this downcast people is this way which God hath appointed for their salvation. 'Tis the way that each will come in their measure. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord, and say unto him, say unto him, there's a speaking, there's an opening of the mouth, there's that wrought within which causes thee to supplicate. There's prayer here, and prayer, oh prayer, 'tis the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed. The secret motion of a fire burns within the breast. This is prayer. Say, prayer is that communion with God. 'Tis that speaking with God. Say unto him, maybe like a Moses of old, thou dost tremble oft to take his holy name upon thy sinful lips. 'Tis indeed a solemn thing, a sacred exercise, prayer, but God hath appointed it, and he doth encourage his own. Yea, he doth enable them to come. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Say unto him. This will be in all due humility. This will be with reverence upon thy spirit. This will be stooping beside the cross. Say unto him, take away all iniquity. What does this reveal? Oh, does it not show there's been that work of the Spirit of preparing the ground? The seed. In the seedlings will not prosper except the ground be prepared. They will never grow, those tender seedlings, except there be that cultivation of the earth. And so it is spiritually. Except there be that preparation of the heart, ne'er can there come forth those fruits of the Spirit. But God here, by his rich mercy, hath prepared this soul. He's shown them in little measure the holiness of God. He's made them to feel themselves as sinners. And thus there's a bringing together through Christ unto the mercy seat. Say unto him, say unto him. Oh, it may be thou dost feel unable to open thy mouth. Such is the weight and guilt of sin upon thy conscience. Such the burden there. But, oh, is there not a groan? Is there not a sigh? Oh, are there not those occasions when there have been an upward lifting of the eye, when none but God is nigh? It's not presumption. Oft we have to cry and plead with the Lord to keep us from presumptuous sins. especially, I suppose, as we've been brought up under the sound of truth, and know it in measure, and the letter of it. Oh, we trust and desire that we should know more than this. That will not take us to heaven. That will not bring us to that holy, happy place. It is to have that vital experience of the truth. And as oft we had to say, true religion, 'tis a revealed religion. 'Tis that which is shown by the Spirit. 'Tis those paths which the soul is caused to walk out in. Something, one says, must be known and felt. Take with you words and turn unto the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity. Oh, is not this the humble plea of the contrite sinner? That one that seeth that it is sin which separates. Yet Jacob saw of old in that dream that open way to heaven, that which bridged the gulf betwixt an holy God and a sinner in his sin. And by faith these souls wrought upon by the Spirit see that way and realize all iniquity must be purged. From this they must be cleansed. Nothing unholy can enter into heaven. Sin is obnoxious in the sight of God, a stench in his nostrils. Oh, is the cry, the daily cry of thy soul before God, take away the love of sinning, Alpha and Omega me. Take away all iniquity. This we know, that we should never be relieved of sin, the power of it here below, not in this time state. But this soul looks to Calvary, to that place where Christ wrought for his children, for his flock, that place where he suffered the just for the unjust, that place where he bore the curse of sin. He, the holy, holy one of God, take away all iniquity. Faith indeed is ever mixed with repentance, where godly sorrow is wrought by the Spirit within. There's a measure of faith given which looks to Christ. Take away all iniquity. The eye is centered upon Christ. The object of faith, true and living faith, is Christ. And this will not be duty faith. Oh, this will not be a nominal faith. This will be that faith which lives and labours under load, that which strives after Christ, striving to enter in, a coveting, a right coveting of those best gifts this soul seeks for forgiveness for Jesus' sake. Take away all iniquity. Was it not thus that those characters came unto the Lord in their distress, in those days when he ministered upon this earth? We read of one and another who came unto Jesus. Sinners they were. Mary Magdalene, he cast out of her those seven devils. She, a great sinner, forgiven much, she loved much. Take away all iniquity. One, a believe we mentioned her case this morning, came up behind him. Oh, dost thou come up behind him? Cannot claim great things. Thy dear Ruth feels so often not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Marks of grace I cannot see. All polluted is my breast, but as a turning unto the Lord, Jesus reclined upon the couch. He sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. She turned in. She must come. She must see Jesus. Oh, we know on those occasions in the house of God, we've been caused to turn in, caused to come. It's been such a constraint. Oh, we well remember a season when we sat in the vestry of a certain course of truth many a week evening, not knowing we were there. Such was the constraint upon our spirit to hear what the Lord God of Israel should speak. Turn in. Turn unto the Lord. Gracious exercise there. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Take away all iniquity. And receive us. Receive us graciously. What do these words indicate to thee? Another step, a furthering of the path that leads to gospel liberty. And receive us graciously. As we've said, this soul has been shown that God is holy, that he cannot look upon sin with any degree of allowance. How then? Oh, then, how can he receive such a one graciously? I suppose we each know it in the letter of it. The truth is recorded in the Word of God, and we've heard it preached many, many times. But oh, hast thou felt? As thou realized it in thine own soul, receive us graciously. As Christ has stood between, in garments dyed in blood, oh, as thou hast been received, as seen in Christ, this prodigal, whom we have read, receive that garment. That garment was placed upon him to cover those filthy rags. So it is, that robe of righteousness which Christ hath wrought out by his perfect obedience unto the law. That robe, one says, is cast, lest a shadow of a spot should on my soul be found. He took the robe the Saviour wrought and cast it all around. Receive us graciously. 'Tis as such a scene in Christ. Those words come to one, as spoken in the Song of Solomon. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away, my love, my fair one. Receive us graciously. Oh, as seen in Christ, they are such. Oh, can faith aspire to such heights? Still looking without, looking within will sink thee lower. Still looking up without unto Christ. 'Tis the hearing of those precious words uttered by him in that hour of his deep sufferings as he was found upon the cross. Yea, those expiring words which he spake with a loud voice. It is finished. It is a hearkening unto these words which rejoices the soul as they see themselves such sinners, but see salvation in Christ alone. The finished work of the Lamb of God. There's nothing to be added. There's nothing not performed. 'Tis all in Christ. Receive us graciously. Receive us in Christ. How do we venture to the throne of grace? Oh, as the spirit of prayer, the grace of supplication is poured upon us from on high. Is it not a pleading? A pleading for Jesus' sake? Is it not with that looking by faith unto Calvary's cross? Receive us graciously. None other way. Out of Christ. Out of Christ we are of all men most miserable. We must perish. Oh, we must be faithful. We must perish out of Christ. We've all fallen. We're all sinners. We all deserve everlasting punishment. Oh, let none water down these things. The truth stands in the word of God. No small mercy to be made conscious of it here below. Our life indeed is but as a vapor. We're here but for a little season, and then we fly away, and are no more. But this we feel, this our time here below, is a preparation. It is either for that place of bliss, or for that place of woe. A little season we abide here, tis to receive blessing of God, earnest of heaven, or to be left to perish in our sins. No small mercy to come under this teaching of the Spirit. Though indeed it might shake thee to the very root. Though indeed it might cause thee to feel the most sinful creature upon the face of the earth, the chiefest amongst sinners. Yet, oh, think of it. Have regard, as one expresses it, unto the recompense of the reward. Wouldst thou not rather be a doorkeeper in the house of thy God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? There is that set before these. These that are so taught of the Spirit, and this teaching, oh, we would desire to know more and more of, that Christ might become more and more precious unto our souls. Receive us graciously. Receive us in Christ. Receive us through Christ. Clothed in that robe, the ring upon the finger, denoting his unchanging, unending love. Receive us in Christ. Now we read at the close of the verse, so will we render the calves of our limbs. So will we render the calves of our lips. This will not be hollow praise. This will be that which comes from the heart. There will be a taking down of the harps from off the willows. Long thou hast been in captivity. Long thou hast felt to be in a strange land. But when such is wrought, when the Lord appears again and makes those rough places plain, those crooked places straight, when all is resolved, when thou dost see how God can be just and yet loving. He hates thy sins. He loves the persons of his children. He loves them in Christ. As these things are revealed by the Spirit, so there will be a rendering of the calves of the lips. Oh, with what joy and rejoicing doth the sinner then sing the songs of Zion. And this is true praise. Oh, this is praise which ascends into heaven. We have read again, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. There's joy in heaven, and there's joy within the soul as they're brought to a knowledge of their interest in Christ, as he is found going with them, drawn nigh unto them, warms their hearts with his felt presence, spoken words of peace unto their troubled spirit, laid their adversaries low, quelled sin for a little season, and caused that soul to rejoice in Christ as their hope of salvation. So, in this way, oh, these are the true songs of Zion. Oh, this is that which is rendered unto him. We read of that woman who came beseeching help of her God. She worshipped him there. That's worship. Oh, has often been comforted by that simple narrative, the read of what true worship is. But cannot we say, many of us, that we have come many, many a time seeking help of God. Lord, help me. And she worshipped him. She worshipped him. To receive these tokens. Oh, to receive some blessing within thy soul. To receive that peace. After having known conflict, the surgings of the mind, the mighty harassment of the adversary, that one who has shot at thee and wounded thee sore and laid thee low. Oh, is there not, as Christ has appeared, like unto that good Samaritan, bound up thy sores, healed thy wounds, set thee upon that beast, and led thee to that inn, and provided all for thee. So wilt thou render the calves of our lips. This is no hollow praise, as we have said. This is nothing that is of the flesh. This is wrought by the Spirit of God. On such love, one says, my soul still ponder. Love so rich, so full, so free, say, was lost in holy wonder. Why, oh, why such love to be? Twill humble thee. And there, oh, these humble desires to praise Almighty God through Christ will be received into heaven. There'll be the lispings. Oh, it may feel to thee thou canst not utter praise as thou would, but oh, the wonders of redeeming love, little tasted here below, these tokens of Christ's love to thy soul, the melting of thine heart before him at the footstool of mercy, when he hath appeared for thee in thy distress, hath wrought for thee in thy trouble, yea, hath brought thee out, sinner that thou art, and put within thee that growed hope in his mercy. So will we render the calves of our lips, a little here below, a little lisping of praise to his honour and glory. Oh, will it not issue in an eternity of praise, as we would seek to crown him Lord of all, yea, the veil removed, there to see him as he is. Oh, will not that be heaven? Heaven for these souls that have been convicted of sin here below, wrought upon by the Spirit to walk a little in these paths, to seek Jesus, to find him. They that seek him shall find him. Find him to the satisfaction of their souls. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. May the Lord forgive all amiss. Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you each.